Hi, everybody. Brian Davis here. It's Longhorn Confidential time again here with the fellas, Danny Kirk and Sed. No, they did not cancel the season based on what Texas did Saturday in the Cotton Bowl. 55-48 decision against the Oklahoma Sooners in the one of the most epic Red River shootouts showdowns we've ever seen.
Get it right.
Whatever.
I know. Whatever. Get it right. Whatever. Thank you, AT&T. But nonetheless, Texas blew a 21-point lead for the first time in school history and lost a game. It was also the biggest comeback OU had ever registered in school history against the Bevos. And guys, let's just start talking about the fallout, because yes, there are six other games, and we'll get to Oklahoma State in a second. But a lot of fans who are going to be watching this, you know, are wanting a pound of flesh. They want us to pound the table on Sark and the defense and the missed tackles and just the overall meltdown of it all. But I thought the guys today were pretty level-headed about it. Seemed to me.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of anger. They were down, as you would expect, but didn't see a whole lot of, you know, anger. And not that you need to, but this is a game they should have won. I think everybody would agree with that, probably even a lot of Oklahoma fans. You can't have a 28-7 lead or 38-20 lead at halftime and not close that out. And that may be the saddest thing about the whole deal from a Longhorn perspective, is we thought they'd learned how to finish. You know, they did so against TCU with that final clock-killing drive, and they clearly did not finish. So is this just kind of the same old Texas, or – I don't know. Did you see a whole lot of progress, Sid?
First half, yeah, I did. But here's the thing. The issues that plagued them in the second half, and I'm going to applaud Casey Thompson and Moro Ojumo and B.J. Foster and Derek Hurstetter and Snacks Colburn for showing up today and answering some tough questions that – the coordinator should have been answering. I mean,
question.
I would love to have a conversation with PK right now and chop it up with him and ask him about why there wasn't more heat on Caleb Williams. Why did you continue to rush three and drop eight when OU had clearly adjusted to that? But you're asking amateur athletes to answer those questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait till next season, right before the season, and I'm going to have a whole list of questions for the coordinators because it's going to be the only time I get to talk to them. So when you're up 38-20, it's human nature to want to settle in and say, this is who we are today. And we're going to get this win. I understand that. But when it starts to go off the rails, there has to be a plan B, and they just simply didn't have a plan B. 10 points in the second half. And I don't even know that they sat on the lead. I just think that what was working, number one, OU stopped making mistakes. Number two, they got Spencer Rattler the hell out of there. And those were two huge adjustments. And the last thing I'll say is I came out of there going, what would have happened if Sark had been as prescient as Lincoln Riley was and gotten Hudson Card out of Fayetteville in the first half? What would have happened then? Because we saw what they did with an unproven guy. And I just wonder if that would have happened with the Horns.
The not allowing the assistants to talk is the weakest thing about Steve's kind of regime here at Texas. It was weak last year when Tom wouldn't let his assistants talk after games. And it's weak that Steve doesn't let them talk at all. And these 20-year-old athletes are forced to be the voice that their coaches should be. And I know Steve kind of likes to say that, you know, he's the voice of the program and he kind of wants one unified voice, but, you know, it's not one voice. These athletes who aren't getting paid aside from their NIL deals are having to answer our questions about calls and, you know, what was a meltdown, and these coaches making millions of dollars just chilling, watching film right now, not talking to us. And I know a lot of people at home don't care, and they're saying, who cares, you know, shut up, quit complaining. But I find that to be weak, and that's just kind of how I felt about that since Tom was here. But as far as the game goes, I thought Texas would be 4-2 at this point in the season. I thought the loss would be to TCU, not Arkansas. So, I mean, they're kind of on track with what I thought. Oklahoma's a top-five team, and yes, Texas was up early, but this is not a, you know, 15-minute game. And I thought we expected some defensive issues and, you know, give Lincoln Riley credit for going to Caleb Williams and not continuing to just beat that Spencer Rattler thing into the ground and, you know, having the conviction to do that. So, I mean, Oklahoma is a good team. They're not some, you know, bad 1-5 team. They got hot. Texas couldn't stop them and is what it is. I think Texas is going to rebound just fine. I don't have any, like, I still think they're going to the Big 12 championship game and they're just going to have to figure out a way to, you know, close out those games. Cause that fourth quarter was troubling, but this team still put up 48. It wasn't like they got shut out, you know, 56-10.
That's a good point. And I am really looking forward to going to spring football where Sed brings out his list and goes, KJ Richardson, let's start with Arkansas, you know, and
we have to Caleb Williams. What happened there?
Because Caleb
what happened against happened, Caleb? Right?
Why do y'all think we're definitely going to get the assistant coaches ever again?
I don't know. It's just the idea of Sed saying, I'm going to make a list. So we're just going to go right down the list.
I got to leave that for you, too, if you need to
borrow. That's funny. Let's hit on a couple news items for today. Jordan Whittington with a clavicle injury is out. Jacoby Jones with a foot injury, I believe it was. He is also going to be out. Neither Sark gave no real timetable on when they could return, but Jordan Whittington, obviously with a clavicle, I mean, that could very well be, I don't want to say season ending, but definitely regular season ending for sure, potentially. And we'll see what happens with Jacoby Jones. But more than anything else, guys, there are more games to play and Oklahoma State is up next and there are 6 games left, as a matter of fact. And I really think there's a strong possibility Texas is favored by smart people in the desert in all of these games. Now, does that mean they're going to win them all? I don't know. We'll see. But to Danny's point, Texas does have, you have to, when you look at the big board here, Texas does have a real track back to Arlington in the Big 12 title game. So is all hope lost? Yes or no?
No. They're still good on offense. Mm-hmm. They got to clean up some things on defense. They got to replace big Jacoby Jones. I think Marcus Washington has shown he's capable of making plays if, you know, without Jordan Whittington in there. So will they learn from this experience? Sure. And I think they have in place Casey Thompson, who's more than capable of leading them back to a Big 12 title game. But they're going to have to clean up some things. And first and foremost, they're just going to have to learn how to, and I know it's cliche, but when you have your foot on someone's throat, you don't pull it off. You finish them. And kudos to OU. They came back. They won the game. But Texas had them dead to right. And Texas should never give that lead up. Not just against OU, but against anybody.
But time out a second. When you give up 55 points, you don't need clean a few things up. You got big problems. You giving up 55 points. OU's offensive line, I'm not saying it's in tatters, but even all our Oklahoma Rider friends said this is one of their worst offensive lines in a long time. And they just gashed, you know, this Texas defense.
But we've heard that before, Duck. How many times have we gone into an OU game and Barry Trammell has said, oh, man, they can't cover. And then they get 3 interceptions. They just seem to always rise to that occasion.
They do against Texas.
It's the theater. Yeah. It's because of the theater of the Cotton Bowl and the game itself. It's a big game. It's not just a normal game.
I'm asking, is this a really, really good defense? Just needs to clean a few things up. Or is this a very flawed defense that plays okay? I mean, they almost lost the TCU game. I mean, give up a 99-yard drive when the game's kind of on the line and you can just,
but they don't have to be really good to win the Big 12. They just need to be average.
No. I understand that. I'm just asking about the defense specifically. How big is their problems?
I mean, the defense is not great. It's not, probably may not even be good, but you know, right. No one came into the season thinking that defense was going to be great or good. They need to be average. They need to support their offense. And if this offense is scoring 48 points, they need to, you know, not lose the game. So, obviously there's some problems with that defense, but there isn't a Texas fan out there. There probably isn't one of the assistant coaches who we're not talking to, probably not one of the parents of these players who thinks that this defense is great, but this defense needs to be good enough to get the job done. And the players know that. The players who came today were more than willing to be accountable for the flaws that were exposed on Saturday. They just need to get better. And, you know, Oklahoma's a good offense. They're not going to see an offense like that the rest of the season. They just need to be better against the offenses that they see.
I'm not a big fan of that term complementary football. But the defense is playing winning football because the offense and the defense together, this is a team that plays winning football. They just can't close the door. I mean, you know, the fourth down stop against TCU when they should have put the game away and drove a stake through Gary Patterson's heart, they couldn't do it. They should have slammed the door hard on the Sooners and they couldn't do it. So to me, that goes back to you have to learn how to win. And I, who have never won big at the college level. And for any of these guys, you know, that's a process that just doesn't happen. Alabama didn't just wake up one day and win, you know, 100 games against unranked teams. They just didn't do it. Right. And so that to me is what the process of this season is all about, is Sark taking players, developing them and taking Texas to the next level.
And just make a play. Okay. I think we'd probably all agree. If you just change one or two plays, you know, Marcus Washington catching a touchdown pass, staying in bounds. Deshaun Jameson, the strip play. If that holds up, if Darian Dunn, you know, prevents that perfect touchdown pass right there at the start. I mean, the Oklahoma receiver who runs out of bounds and comes back in, makes a catch on a crucial third down.
Terrible call, Big 12 refs. Terrible call.
And Sed and I were talking about how big that weight, because Texas is up 14-0, and then Oklahoma punts.
Dropped his hat.
Yes.
And when you drop your hat,
right,
that means the receiver ran out of bounds. And if he wasn't pushed, and replay showed that he was not pushed, then you call that flag, and I don't care what the score is. And I just thought that was a pivotal part of the game. Now, we didn't know that OU was going to come back and win at the time, but Texas is very deserving of that call on a day when OU was penalized how many times? Two?
Zero till what, the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so on a day where they weren't getting called for penalties, and we see, obviously, in the press box, the kid stepped out of bounds.
But see, that's what I'm talking about.
You don't throw your hat down if you're not going to call that flag.
Well, they thought he was pushed, obviously. I mean, if he threw that down, well, he'd push at some point, but I think he was already out of bounds when he got pushed, if at all. But my point is that play changed. Marcus touchdown catch that wasn't. Deshaun Jameson strip, Darian Dunn, B.J. Foster not losing sight of the ball on his foot. If any one of those changes, they got a really good chance to win that game. And I would, if I'm Sark, I'm saying, you know, Xavier Worthy had the game of his life. Did have the mistake on the fumble on the kickoff return, but then he comes back and makes two sensational catches. They should not be that far away. And like Danny said, if they just have an average defense, they're going to be in every game and with a chance to win every game.
I still go back to, if we're talking about close plays, I still go back to Keaton Crawford's, you know, toenail being on the line at Arkansas. Or he gets the muff punt at the very beginning. Boom! Texas is up 7-0.
That was big.
So we'll talk more about Oklahoma State on Thursday as we get ready. But to me, that's what the big overarching message is of today, is that it felt like these guys met with coaches who didn't, you know, upbraid them, didn't pour paint off the walls, you know, MFing them like previous staffs would have done. It's almost like, you know, look, well, that's what they did. Herman Sapp, you know, was well known for cussing them out. But the thing is that just doesn't fly. To Kirk's point, for a team that's close, you need to show them teachable things. And so they can fix it. It can get better the next time.
That's his phrase, isn't it? Teachable moments. Sarky.
He's a teacher.
Yeah.
He's a teacher. I like that about him.
Yeah.
I like the even keel. I believe that they believe in him. That's important. That hasn't always been the case in this program with the head coaches. So I just think he's the right guy for the job. But the last thing I'll say is, he just let a great moment get away from him. How big would this have been if they win 55-54? It doesn't matter. If they get out of there with a win, then the Big 12's on notice that the Texas Longhorns are on the way up. And now what we're left with are more question marks than answers.
Any final thoughts?
No, I'm good. Let's roll out. It's been a long week. We have a long week ahead of us. Let's get to get it.
Let's get Kwiatkowski on the phone right now.
Come on, PK.
We will all four go on a search for PK and also Kyle Flood. But that's all the time we have for here. We're going to keep this one shorter a little bit today. Remember, you can catch all the action on Hook'em.com. Part of your subscription with the Austin American Statesman. We love subscribers. We want you to read, but we love you to subscribe too as well. Absolutely. So that's it for the guys here. For Danny Kirkinstead, I'm Brian. We'll talk to you next time.